Okay, so we are underway. Simon Kuf Yud Gimel Bishalakum. Our goal today is to just give a basic overview of the principles of Bishalakum. A lot of the background of this sugya is familiar to us from Kuf Yud Beis, from Pasakum. Dine Bishule Oveik Ovde Kochavim, here Yoredea Simon Kuf Yud Gimel, relates back to the Mishnah that we saw in Avodah Zarah, Lamed Hei Amud Beis, where the Mishnah told us that one of the items which is prohibited, but it's not an Isser Hanah, it's just an Isser Achila, is the Isser of Shlakos. It's interesting, if you look in the Rishonim, in the Mefarshim on the Mishnah, it's in Nedarim, to determine what the word Shlakos actually means. Shaluk, according to one way of understanding it, means lightly cooked. Another way of understanding it is exceedingly cooked, but for our purpose, it just means cooked. So there is an issur of eating food that was cooked by a non-Jew. The chiddush of this Mishnah is to tell you that even though the ingredients of the food and the kalim that are being used are totally kosher, nonetheless, the chachamim institute an issur d'rabbanan restricting these shlokos, these foods that were cooked by non-Jews. The Gemara even had a havamina that such a thing could be an issur d'oraisa, potentially based on the pasuk of ochel bakesef tashbirein v'achalti. And the Gemara concluded that no, the pasuk is not a din d'oraisa, but it's an asmachta. Well, what's the rationale for this asmachta, for this din? So Rashi in the Mishnah tells you, which is what you get the implication from in terms of the context of pas, which are two gzeiros that are separate, distinct in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, but are somewhat related, is that it's a concern of chasnas, that this type of social interaction could potentially lead to intermarriage. However, Rashi on Lamed Chesem and Aleph, as we saw, introduces a second variable. Rashi, this is Lamed Chesem and Aleph on the top, Dibur HaMaskil. Rashi says, "Shelo yehe Yisrael rogel etzlo b'maychel v'mishne v'yachilenu davar tamei." Interesting. Shema yachilenu davar tamei. And Tosfos here in Dibur Maskil Ella says, "That's very interesting." But he says, "V'yosinir elafarish hatamishem chasnus," like Rashi said on the Mishnah earlier on. So we have two answers potentially to the question of why is there an Isser of Bishalakum? Either it's because of chasnus, or it's because of Shema Yachilenu Davar Tamei. Rashi is not the only one to follow this approach. Here in the back, in the little Hagos Ashri on the Rosh, in Simon Chavches, he quotes from the Marach Or Zeru on the name of the Rashbam, who says the same concern, that it's built on a concern of Shema Yachilenu Davar Tamei. I think it's in Chavches, in that little Haggah there. But Tosfos points out that the simple understanding of the Mishnah is that it's a problem Mishum Chasnus. So the simple way of understanding this Tosfos, what he's trying to make the point with Rashi, is that we are presenting two different reasons, two hesberim, two ta'amim. One, Chasnus, two, concern for non-kosher food being mixed in. However, the truth is, if you look at the Lashon, the Rambam, and the Pirush Mishnayos, it sounds as though these two distinct concerns actually can merge into one. Because the Rambam has this explanation that the exact Lashon differs from the translation that you find in the Kapach to the translation that you find in the traditional print. But the point is the same, which is that the concern of Ta'aruvus with Akum, it's not a specific Isser that they're worried about, but it's just the general Hisarvus which will lead to Isurim, which potentially could include both intermarriage and Machalas Asuros. The exact Lashon of the Rambam He says, Rov hadvar, and this is in the Kapach, Rov hadvar halalu kagon hapas vashlokos v'domeim lo nesru el kadei shenisrachik mehem v'lo nesar behem kadei shelo novo behisaru v'seinu behem lehefkerus bedvarim hoasurim. Hefkerus bedvarim hoasurim. So that's an interesting lashon because, in a certain sense, it merges the two concerns. The dvar ma'asurim could include bios asurus and machalas asurus. However, if you look at the Rambam in the Yad, in Halacha Tesvav, and in Halacha Tes, the Rambam does mention chasas. So it's a nice pshat in the Pirush Mishnayos, but from a strictly Yad standpoint, it sounds like the main concern is the chasas. The question is, what is the ramification? What is the nafkamina? Why is it important to know that we have these two svaras, these two concerns in the works? So Rabbi Ganak, in the article in that first Masorah journal that we Xeroxed and handed out, Rabbi Ganak has his Shtikl Torah where he suggests that the additional concern of Shema Yachilenu Davar Tameh is correlated with the notion that this is now a cheftza of machalas asuros. It's not just a restriction on the gavra, it's not just a general concern about chasnas alone, it's not chasnas greda. Once you introduce the shemiyach lenu davar tameh, that creates this cheftza of machalas asuros, and the nafkamina of that, which we pointed out when we learned pasakum, is that in pasakum, the pas doesn't aser kelim. But when it comes to Bishalakam, the Shulchan Aruch in Siv Tezayin says, Kalim Shabisha by Mobikocham Lefonenu, Tzrichim Hechsher. Then there's the Yeshorim that ain't Tzrichim Hechsher. But the Chumrah, which we did not see, there were no 2 days when it came to Pasakam, is Novei, he suggests, from this idea that the added concern of Shema Yachalenu Davar Tameh is introducing this new level of a Cheftza Shel Isser. And that's essentially what you'll also find in the Aruch HaShulchan in Os Beis, where the Aruch HaShulchan explains how, in general, we find so many kulas. Let's say the Shulchan Aruch following the Rambam about Shkira Satan, or that's a special kula for Pas. He says, we have so many kulas in the context of Pasakum. Where do we get all these kulas, and why do these kulas not translate to Bishalakum? The answer is because Bishalakum is more chamor, because you have both the concern of Chasnas and the concern of Shema Yachalenu Davar Tameh. Now, yes.
But at the same time, we still assume that Pas isn't Isser Chefsa.
So I don't think, it doesn't seem to me that these are such clear, and we'll see why, even in terms of the Bishol Akum, it's not actually a total 100% Isser in the Chefsa either. We said when it came to Pas Akum, it's labeled when it becomes an item of Pas, but that doesn't mean that it rises to the level of Cheftza Shel Isser to the extent that it does in the context of Bishul.
At least so, two bread in the same place.
Second point in this context is that Hagos Ashri, quoting from the Marach or Zeruha, that is a part of this discussion also. If the only concern were, like Rashi said, that it's only Shema Yachalenu Davar Tameh, well, what if you have a food item that you know for sure is regulated by the government, and there's no way that we should have any concern? There's no chashash whatsoever that the goy was Ma'arev Davar Tameh at all. So he talks about compote, and another kind of food where even if the goy actually cooked it, there's no concern that you were Ma'arev anything else. So if your only concern was the Rashi and Lamed Ches of Shema Yachalenu Davar Tameh, then in a Chanami, in that case, you would not have, perhaps you would have argued that the Chacham did not institute a restriction against Bishalakam in that case. But Lamaisa, because we are Choshish for both, we're going to be Machmir and Aser, even things where, based on other external considerations, like the government, we would not have a Chashash of this his arvus of a davar tameh. Good? You're looking at me quizzically.
I'm just trying to work out. Is the chashash chasmus a low plug in this regard?
So we said in Pasachim it's a low plug. We said that even if the guy has no daughters, we quoted from the Rashba.
So
right?
Would that apply to Bishlakim as well?
Yes, for sure the low plug would be. The question was, in this case, do you say it's not a question of low plug because it's beyond the context? The Gemara initially, what's the specific of this? The Gemara initially told us when it introduced the Menahani Mili, it said maybe it's from Ochel Bakesef Tashbireni, and the Gemara had a model of just like Nishtana al Yadei Ha'ur, Af Nishtana al Yadei Ha'ur. So this issue of Nishtana al Yadei Ha'ur is important for us, because if it's not Nishtana al Yadei Ha'ur, so then you can tell if somebody put in some strange ingredients or not. So which is what the Marach or Zeru is doing. That's another example of how you can ascertain something. So this question of whether or not the criterion of Nishtana al Yadei Ha'ur remains. The Shach quotes here that it's a machlokas rishonim. The Rambam doesn't mention it, but the Ran in Daf Yud Dalan Amud Beis in the Dibra Maskil does mention it, and the Darkei Tshuva in Os Yud Dalid and the Orach HaShulchan in Os Tes both say that we have to be machmir. That even if it's not Nishtana al Yadei Ha'ur, we're going to call it Vishalakum. But that's just a footnote to this point. The main point was Nishtana al Yadei Ha'ur, or the government intervention, are examples of ways to ascertain that no Davar Tameh got in there, but we're going to be Machmir because we're Machmir for Chashash of the Chasnas. Third Nafkamina might be, application of this issue is the Pisrei Tshuva in Sifkat and Aleph, who quotes the two deyas about Amumar, who quotes the discussion we had back in Pas. And so the Chelkas Binyamin points out here, he says, even for those who were Mekel in the context of Pasakum, the Pasakum is a Chashash Chasnas, and the question was, maybe we're going to say Mumar Dino Ka'akum, and even though technically, right, that was the tshuva from Rav Sternbach, technically there's no violation of Los Eschatim Bam, when it comes to a mumar vis-a-vis mumar dino ka'akum, but you know, even if you're going to be mekel on that side because there's no technical violation of chasnos, but now you've introduced a new hesber for this din of bishalakum, which is shemi achalim davar tamei, and that guy who's a mumar dino ka'akum has zero ne'amonos, and you really have a chashash of shemi achalim davar tamei. So Chalkas Binyamin points out that even those who are mekel when it came to the mumar in the case of pas, we should be machmir, like the Pesachei Tshuva quotes, in Sifkat and Aleph, for Bishul. And then a fourth aspect of this issue, of it becoming an upgraded Isser, Nafkamina number one was considering it somewhat of a Cheftah Shal Machlos Asuras to Aser Kalim, unlike Pas. Number two was the fact that it also has the Isser Chasnas, means even if you can guarantee that there's nothing else mixed in there, you have both concerns. Number three was, now that we have the Shema Yachalenu Davar Tameh, we also have to be concerned about Mumar. And number four is, if you look in the Shach, in Simen Kuf Yud Beis, we saw this in the last Simen, in Sifkat and Chaf Gimel, the Shach quotes two opinions, and he references two opinions, other Achronim, the Shach assumes this way, that Bishal Akam is Baltal Barov. If you look there in Simen Kuf Yud Beis in the Chelkas Binyamin and Os Kuf Lamed Gimel, he discusses both the Shitas on this, but the Shach, and it seems that this is the majority opinion, this is the Maskana, that Bishal Akum does not require Shishim. So why do we mention this? Because Bishal Akum is Batal Barov. So this is exactly what Yosef is alluding to earlier, which is, it's difficult to say, even though we're saying that Bishal Akum is upgraded and it's on the level of Machlas Asuros, for those Achronim, which are quoted there in the Chalkas Binyamin, we quote a bunch of Achronim who say that you need Shishim, so then it makes perfect sense. It's Mamash Hechefta Machlas Asuros, and so it's going to Aser Ad Shishim. But if you say like the Shach, then you have to modify what we're saying a little bit. You have to say, yes, It's in a certain respect similar to machalas asuros, but it's not exactly a full-fledged iser of machalas asuros, either because there's no shorish min haTorah, or because it's maybe like the Ron said, that it's a later takana, whatever you're going to say, but you're going to have to mitigate that a little bit to say that, yes, it is upgraded to some extent, but it's not totally upgraded because the Shach's opinion is that it's batal b'shishim. I'm sorry, that it's batal b'rov, you don't require shishim. Okay? So our four ha'aros are just this general question of the status of bishalakim and its upgraded nature because of the two tamim. Is the issue of asrin kalim, the question of the compost not nishtan al yidei ha'ur, because you can detect that there's no dabar tummy in there, the issue of the mumar, and then the last issue of shishim. Now, Rav Schechter, when he spoke about this, he's always bothered by this issue of how could it be that it asrin kalim, but it's batal b'shishim, so that you have to say a separate shtickle Torah, that there's this... Batal Barov, excuse me. So that you have to say is a separate shtickle Torah, that it's a special din
in
Hechsher Kalim.
He seems to think it's not a chesed Surah because of the Batal Barov.
Right.
I mean, he doesn't. Rav Schechter, I don't think Rav Schechter tries to toe the line. I think he says Batal Barov is not a.
It's not a chesed Surah.
So
then the question is the Hechsher Kalim. Exactly.
That's the outlier.
When he gave us a shiur on Bishalakum, when we first learned Bishalakum, that was the way he was more nota. He quoted it from a...
He does?
Oh, okay, I didn't see that. Good, thank you. I should check it. Because when he gave it in the shiur, he quoted it from a tshuva in the Avnei Nezer, so I went to look for the Avnei Nezer. I didn't find exactly... No, about the question of the nafkamina of whether it's a chefta shel isser or not, relating to the isser of bitul b'shishim, or just barov.
Okay, yeah, he has the whole thing in the piece in Tom Kikar and Big Beatzon. Yeah,
okay, because that's what he was saying with the Nafkamina, whether you say Tom Kikar, if you say there's no Tom Kikar, then it can't be a Chefzat Yisur. And then the question was, what about the Kalim? Does he talk about that there also?
Yeah.
The whole thing. How could it be an Isur Kalim? There's no Tom Kikar, there's a special Gzera when it comes to Kalim. That he loves that Seer. How could it be an Isur in the Kalim? Okay. Yeah, question? Okay. Great.
So do we hold like the shot that it's Batal Barov?
Yeah, I think we do.
Passing
I think we do. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us, based on the Gemara, that there are several criteria that we need to consider to ascertain whether something is subject to the dinim of Bishalakum. We alluded to that discussion from the Gemara on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis at the bottom of Nishtana Al Yedei Ha'ur. But the primary caveats here are on the top of Lamed Ches and Aleph, where the Gemara first tells you Nechal Chai, and if it's Nechal Chai, Imbo Mishu Mishulia Ovikochavim. And then the second thing was Kol She'inu Nechal Al Shulchan Malach Lelafes Boas HaPas, Imbo Mishu Mishulia Ovikochavim. So that's what we're going to give a brief overview right now or of these two criteria. So this idea of not nechal chai, it's interesting. Why should it be, if the meichel is not nechal chai, that it's not subject to bishalakum? So if you look in the Chachmas Adam here, this is in Chaf Vav Aleph. That's what I wrote down. I hope that's the right marmakum. That's what I wrote down in my notes.
Do you hope you could read it? Or
no.
You hope that's right?
I hope that it's correct. I think it was Chaf Vav Aleph. Let me see. Did I print it out? I didn't print it. I think it was Chaf Vav Aleph. So the Chacham HaSa'adam says, you know why? Because he says it's not called Bishol. If a carrot is eaten raw, when you cook it, you haven't transformed it. You haven't affected it in any way because it was eaten beforehand. So your cooking is not called cooking. The slight difficulty with that formulation is because the Gemara in Beitza says that even though the salted fish, which are eaten in their current state and are not subject to bishalakum when you cook them, but the bishal on them is effective for making them a valid Eruv Tavshilin. So it sounds like there is some form of cooking happening here, but perhaps Lechura, what the Chachma Sadam and others in that same camp mean is that for purposes of Bishul Akum, that's not called Bishul. Why not? Because if you look in the Ran in Beitza on Daf Chesam at Beis, on that sugya in the Erev Tavshilin, he says that in the case of the salted fish which were cooked, the whole concern is of chasnus, and they weren't gozer. So what is he getting at? What he's getting at is that what's the basic concern here? Forgetting the Shemiyach Lo Nedaber Tamei for a moment. The basic concern is that there's going to be a cure of hadas between the chef and the recipient, the person who's eating the food. But if what the chef did was so insignificant, it's not going to create any feelings of connection because the contribution that he made was so minimal, it was so insignificant. You have here carrots, raw carrots. Someone takes them out to the grill and grills them. So raw carrots, grilled carrots, yes, now they're cooked, but they're basically the same carrot. So I don't think these are two hesberim that are at odds with each other. I think they're in a certain sense, they are complementary to each other. The reason why for Bishul Akum, if you have a food which is eaten raw and you cooked it, it's not considered to be a transformation. It's not called Bishul. It's not because that's not Bishul. If you did that on Shabbos, you would violate Bishul B'Shabbos. It's because for purposes of Bishul Akum, which is about Kiruv Hadas, a concern of Chasnas and His Arvus, you're not going to build any relationship over food that you could have eaten otherwise. So, that what?
There was no need for it.
Yeah, you did. Right, good, exactly. Oh. So now the question is, well, who decides what is Nechal Chai? So the Orcha Shulchan here in Os Yud Beis, he says it's Poshet, it's obvious to him. Orcha Shulchan in Yud Beis, here in Kuf Yud Gimel, he says it's obvious that you follow the Rov B'nei Adam. Whether or not you individually would eat, for example, raw potatoes or not, doesn't matter. Because in this society, in this country, in this place, at this time, most people do not eat potatoes raw. But lehefach is also, if you are a person who doesn't eat carrots raw, but the vast majority of people do eat carrots raw, so bud ledaito. Yes?
This comes up also in terms of Shabbos, cooking on Shabbos. Does it not?
That's probably a machlokas when it comes to cooking on Shabbos. Right? The question of...
Things are eaten raw and then
I thought you meant. In terms of the derech of how to cook, about microwaves,
the Moshe of Shulzo. When we talk about, what's a good example? I think potato was.
Whether you're downgrading them or upgrading, yes, it is related to the issue of.
Because if people don't eat potatoes raw, then it's not an adama. Does the Arkashokan or anyone assume that those two things are related, or are you separating them?
Yes, I did see. I'm trying to remember. I remember if the Aruch HaShulchan connected them or someone else, but they are definitely related.
Brachos,
yeah.
What about roots?
Oh, so one second. Then the Aruch HaShulchan takes the next step, and he says, but that's all true within what he calls one Medina. He says, every Medina is nidon v'fne'atzmo, and they're not bottled to each other. Now, he doesn't say city, and he doesn't tell you whether Medina means a country or the Medinas, Illinois, but I guess you have to assume that a city is too small, and I guess you talk about a region or something like that. A significant, you have to define that precisely, but the idea is that if you have a substantial area, a Medina, not just an ear, a whole Medina, then he says those Medinas are not bottled one to the other. So the Nafkamina comes up in the following. Rabbi Cohn, in the book on Pasul Bishul Akum, wonders, and this is on page 59, what happens when you export items from one country to another. Let's say in a particular South American country where they eat raw date palms, hearts of palm. They cook them there, and then they ship them to America. In America, I don't believe that anyone eats raw hearts of palm. People eat cooked hearts of palm. And vice versa, whatever you're going to talk about. He has a particular kind of button mushroom, which is in one place eaten, in one country it's eaten raw, and in another country it's not eaten raw. So he says that we know that Bishul Akum is based on, is defined by the cooking of the item. Right? Remember, we discussed this in the context of Pasakum when we talked about the Machlokas, the Ra'ah, and the Rashba, about when we're Koveya the bread, whether when it's baked, it's Paspalter or Paspalabais, versus when it's sold. So we Paskin in Pas that it's when it's baked, and certainly for Bishul Akum, it's also when it's baked, when it's cooked. So he says it depends where the item is being cooked. If they are in South America, in a geographic region, in a country where people eat hearts of palm raw, and they cook them there in a retort in the cans and then ship them to America, that would be nechal chai and not a problem of Bishul Akum, because at the time and place in which it was cooked, that was considered and was defined in that makom nechal chai.
Even though the owner is probably
even though the owner is somewhere else, exactly, it doesn't matter. It's nikba in that place.
Well, but it makes sense because the cooking happens, that's where the isser starts.
That's exactly.
This is
what I think. That's what he says is the psak of the CRC, and I think the OU also had his comment on that in the sheets that we had. I have to check. I don't remember if they did.
I've seen that.
The next ha'ara. So now we've talked about what it means to be nachal chai, but the next ha'ara. It's an interesting machlokas between Rashi and the Ritva, and it keeps coming up. Rashi says, what does it mean that it's nechal chai? It means it's the derech to eat it chai. The Ritva is a super kula. The Ritva says that it's the Ritva is here on Lamed Ches. He says that it's roy to be eaten chai. So that's very interesting. And that keeps coming up in the Achronim. You know, can you ever rely on this ra'ah, on this Ritva, who says that it's derech? Now, you should know.
The Ritva says it's
right to be eaten raw. Which is a much more expansive mahalach.
So anything that can be, so like sugar in theory, you can eat a sugar cube, so then within the Ritva that would be considered
Well, I think sugar cube is already processed. You're talking about, let's say, sugar cane.
Right, yeah, sugar
potentially. Cane. Potentially.
Would that be regional still?
So l'chore, it would still be regional, but the idea of raw is much more expansive. You'll see later on in the Shulchan Aruch, there are two deyas about something which is nechal chai al yedei hadchak. Shulchan Aruch has two deyas about that. It's in Yud Beis. So that's also related to this. But the question of derech versus roy is going to be important. That's issue number two. Issue number three is that the Chachmas Adam, and this is in Os, in Sif Yud Gimel, points out that it depends on the food item in its current state whether or not that is defined as Nechal Chai. Meaning, let's say you have fruit, but the fruit is not fully ripe yet. So he says, that is not called nechal chai.
It's not edible fish, but once you salt it, now it becomes edible in chai.
And therefore,
and
now...
Then is it.
Exactly. So now this leads us to...
I think on the Shofar, on the page of the Shofar, they have their holken on that.
What's that?
In the beginning of the confusion.
You sure?
I thought. Is it
the
Gilead? Yeah, there is a Gilead Marsha, and all the poskim are upset about this Gilead Marsha. If you look in the Sefer Bishul Yisrael, he quotes a lot of discussion about this, and later poskim are very upset about this Gilead Marsha.
he thinks that it's defined by the min.
Yeah. So we're going to get to that in a second. That Gilui Marsha is also related to the another issue. But the Chachma Sadam is against the Gilui Marsha, and I think either one of the Svarim points out that it depends on where it is right now against the Gilui Marsha. Yeah.
That Chachma Sadam would work within both Rashi and the Ritva in regards to whether Derech or Roy to be Tevah.
Correct. In every case, you have to figure out, is it Derech versus Roy? Exactly. But in this case, when you have a peach which is not yet ripe, it's neither the Derech nor is it Roy to be raw.
Right. But I'm saying if it's a peach that's not ripe, people don't eat it ripe. But in theory, one could do so.
Not understanding. Say that again.
If you have a peach that is not yet fully ripe, in theory, it can be eaten.
Now?
As yet, when it's 75% of the way there.
So that's what I'm saying.
But it's not totally there such that the Derech is to eat it like that.
So
the Nachmina.
Potentially, if it was Roy. Potentially. But that, again, that's not a function of the Chachmas Adam. That's saying every food you have to figure out, does it fit the Rashi standard or the Ritva standard? That could be one application of this if it's not yet ripe, yes. Right. Now, the question of the min we're going to get to in the context of Olal Shulchan Malachim in a little bit. But it is related because that's the context here. The other question is, what about if you have a food which is eaten raw, but it's not eaten raw in and of itself? This is brought up, as you pointed out, Ari, this is brought up in Hilchos Brachos in the Gemara in Davos Lamed Vav Amid Beis, where it's discussing Zangvil, which is, I believe, ginger. So the Magen Avraham has an interesting suggestion. This Magen Avraham Orachayim Simon Reish Gimel in Hilchos Brachos Sif Katan Dalid, the Gemara distinguishes between Zangvil Yavish and Zangvil Lach. So Zangvil Lach everybody eats, Zangvil Yavish people don't eat. If they don't eat it, so you're not going to make a Bor Pri Adama on it. Yang Zangvil Lach that people eat, they're going to make a Bor Pri Adama. But the Magen Avraham says, well, if you have Zangvil Yavish and it's ground up, people eat it on bread as a spread, as a condiment. So even though nobody eats dry ginger, but since dry ginger, which is ground up, is eaten together with bread as part of your recipe, so the Magen Avraham suggests that that's called Nechal Chai. The Mishnah Berurah says not that it's eaten with bread. The Mishnah Berurah says that it's eaten with sugar. I'm not sure there's a difference between those two conceptually. The point is that it's Nechal with something else. So according to the Magen Avraham, eaten together with something else also is considered to be Nechal Chai. The Orach HaShulchan here in Os Yudalid disagrees with this Magen Avraham, and he says that no, the Gemara distinguishes between Lach and Yavish is also it's here, or Yordea, in Kuf Yud Gimel and Yudalid. But according to that Magen Avraham, comes out a very important kula, which is that if you have something, even if it's not in and of itself eaten raw,
like
but
onions.
Potentially, right? If you eat it together with something else, that's called Nechal Chai.
And we hold like the Magen Avraham?
Orach HaShulchan does not accept it, but it sounds like many poskim do accept this Magen Avraham.
I would think that the Mishnah work is more medical in the sense that on bread you can argue that the whole sitting and start with the bottle for the bread. Whereas once you throw sugar in there, you can say just...
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like it's an issue of bittul. But maybe. Okay, maybe.
Sugar, definitely, you're dealing with sugar and shalapen.
Could be. That's number one. Number two, the Shulchan Aruch says, is that not only is it Davar She'en Nechal Kamo Shuchai, the Gam Ola Al Shulchan Melachim Lalaf Izbo Es HaPas O Lefarperes. So I'm going to leave off Ola Parperes for a minute. We'll get to that at the end. But Ola Al Shulchan Melachim Lalaf Izbo Es HaPas. Ola Al Shulchan Melachim. So why is it that this food item needs to be Ola Al Shulchan Melachim? So the Rambam tells us, the Rambam tells us that if you have a food item which is not something which is worthy of the Shulchan Malachim, so then you don't have to worry. Because She'ikar HaGzeira, this is in Tesvav, She'ikar HaGzeira Mishum chasnus shalayizamnu hagoy etzlo besuda. V'davar she'ina ola al shulcha malachim lechol bo esapas ein adam mezamin es chaveru olav. It's not a very dignified, it's not a specialty food item for which you would invite your friend to dine. So you're not going to be mezamin other people. So what exactly does this mean? What is the chiddush that it has to be ola al shulchan malachim? The king is going to eat it. So this is the famous argument, the sardines of the Chazon Ish. This is the story that Rabbi Ganak tells from Rav Schwab, that apparently Rav Schwab went to the Chazon Ish and asked him about sardines, and the Chazon Ish said that the king of England, or the queen of England, I don't know which one he said, the king of England eats sardines for breakfast, and therefore it's called Ola al Shulchan Malachim. However, Rabbi David Cohen points out in the Sefer that the vast majority of poskim, many poskim, do not agree with this Hagdara. And they say it's not an issue of whether or not it is of sufficient quality that the king would or wouldn't eat it. It's the question of whether or not it would be served at a steak dinner, a state dinner. Is it not? It's not an issue of whether or not it's refined enough for the king's palate. It's a question of, is it chashav enough to be at a state dinner? And that is consistent with Lechora, with the svar of the Rambam about being mezamin other people. In the king's personal quarters, the king is going to eat who knows what. Rabbi Cohen, in the book, in his Sefer, mentions, he's talking about President Obama, when he was in the White House, what he would eat at a Super Bowl party, watching a Bears game, the Chadome. What the king of England eats, you know, in the privacy of his snack period or his breakfast, that's not, unless you're talking about the king of England where they serve breakfast on a platter and it's mamash olal shulchan malachim, the same thing. The pashtus is, it has to be a state dinner, which means that it's a regal thing. And that's why other poskim point out that it's not just what the king will eat, but it is put out for the king at a se'uda chashuva. And that's why if you look in the Kaf HaChaim here in Sifkat and Beis, says it's not just the king. It's also what he calls sarim. Sarim. Dignitaries. And that's why in a contemporary context, Rav Schechter has referred to the idea of a fancy wedding. Because these are all examples of Shulchan Malachim. They are very refined meals where you get a special invitation, you get one in the mail, you come, you're invited, you have a place card, you sit down. So it's not necessarily a melech, it could also be a sarim. Dar Ketshuva talks about, is it Malchei Akum or Malchei Yisraeli? The Dar Ketshuva says, I never heard anybody don. It doesn't matter, Jewish king, not Jewish king. Is it a Suda Chashuva? Is it a Suda Chashuva for Svarim, for sarim? Like for a wedding. Yeah.
I heard that the Star K calls both the White House to find out if something's Ola Shulchan Malachim. First of all, you heard this?
I don't know.
Then I renege my question.
I don't know. If you look in the Chelkas Binyamin in Sivkot and Ches, he makes a point which is previously made by the Dar Ketshuva in Sivkot and Ches. Dar Ketshuva makes a very important point here. Because you could say, wait a second, stop! How could it be that a piece of meat that I grill on my grill in my backyard would ever be served at a state dinner? They would add a garnish, they would add a sauce, they would add a side dish. The answer is, says the Dar Ketshuva, is that at its core, would it be served? Yes, there's going to be a tikkun ktsas, there's a little bit of hechsher, but that is just, that's icing on the cake, that's just the gravy. The definition of Ola al Shulchan Malachim is, in its current format, is this food item worthy of being served at a state dinner, adding the appropriate garnishes, which would only be at a state dinner. So maybe they would take one of those waffle crisps and put it on top with a piece of rosemary at 9 o'clock, and they would have a marinade on the bottom, but the core item, that's sufficient to be considered to be Ola al Shulchan Malachim. So now we come to the main...
And the horror would be the same in the opposite direction, meaning fancy caterers will find clever ways to use like all sorts of things, like a chip.
Right.
So you put a salad in, you have a thing, and you put a chip on top. Like.
Oh, we'll get to that in a minute when we come. Oh, we're gonna get to that when we talk about tofel. We're gonna get to that in a second. When we talk about tofel. Because there, it's clearly just a tuffle. It's not...
It's used as a garnish is by definition tuffle. So exactly. They say, oh, look, it's a fancy...
No, exactly. We'll get to that in a second. 2 minutes. But here is where we come to this point that you were alluding to earlier from the Gilyon Maharsha in a more broad context, where we have to wonder, is the issue of Ol al Shulch Malachim defined by the Min, or is it defined by this particular Meichel? So there is a whole discussion about this. There's a lot of discussion in the Sefer Bishul Yisrael. There's a whole chapter on this question, but in the notes from the OU, Rabelski Zechet Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha has a paragraph on this, which I gave out to you in that OU packet, the notes. Rabelski says, absolutely, it is not an issue of the Min. Of the Min. Potato chips. Are potato chips Olal Shulchan Malachim? So, if you say that it depends on the Min, well, potatoes in some form are Ol al Shulchan Malachim, then you say potato chips also. But he says, not true. He says, it goes back to the Isser V'Heter. So the Isser V'Heter is in Shar Mem Dalid Os Gimel. This came up back in Kuf Yud Beis, way in the beginning in the Ramah, about Pas Orez V'Dochan. So, leaving aside the question of if it is or it certainly is, the Isser V'Heter says, Isser V'Heter, Shar Mem Dalid Os Gimel. He says, Pas Shelahen Shalmini Kitnes V'Orez V'Dochan, Aser. It's Aser. And then he says, why? She'ena B'Chalal Heter Pas. Va'afal pi de pas kitnios va'oriz v'dochan, Michael hediotos havu ve'ena olal shulchan sarim. So it shouldn't be subject to bishalakum. Listen to the following line carefully. Me'achar de ola derech bishul mishum parparos yesh bo ata mishum bishul kanani. So Rav Belfsky says, whoever got this idea that it follows the Min never looked at the Isser V'Heter inside. The Isser V'Heter does not say that since sometimes in one form this Min is Ol al Shulchan Malachim, it's always Ol al Shulchan Malachim. He says, no. He says, this is also Ol al Shulchan Malachim, even though it's not a main dish, it's Lefarferes. So once it's Ol al Shulchan Malachim, Lefarferes, then we're going to call it Olal Shulchan Malachim, which we're going to get to in the next topic in a few minutes. Barabelsky says, it's not true. It's not about the Min. You don't say that it's based on the Min at all. He says, look in the, we should look in the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, look in the Aruch HaShulchan, who is asked about potatoes. And he says, potatoes are not Ol al Shulchan Malachim. It's possible to make a potato Ol al Shulchan Malachim. That doesn't matter. It's based on this potato. That's why he says, if it's the Aruch HaShulchan is, if you took a potato and you cooked it in water, so then that's not Ol al Shulchan Malachim. That's here in Kuf Yud Gimel. Yud Ches. Tapuch Adama Shetolin Kartoflis or Bulbas. It's Ein Ola Shulchan Malachim. Vim Bishal Akam Osam Rakba Maim Belvada Ofa Osam Mutali Yisrael Ochlam. Diyadu Ishu Achila Pshuta. It's Dalas Ha'am, eat it. And what about the Derech HaSarim? The Sarim, no, they only eat it once in a long while because there's so much excess. It's about this particular food. Is this food...
Meaning this steak on my grill.
Yes. This steak, I'll get to the tzura in a second, it's totally on this particular food item. This is how Rabelsky paskins, this is how the OU paskins, this is how Rav Schechter paskins. It depends on this particular item. Well, what do we mean when we say this particular item. So in Perek Yud Zayin, the Sefer Bishul Yisrael, he quotes Machlokas about this, but the simple understanding based on Rav Belsky and Rav Shechter is the way in which this particular food was cooked, Ola al Shulchan Melachim. Nafkamina, for microwaves. Microwaves. If you take a potato and you microwave it, would you ever serve a microwaved baked potato at a wedding? I don't know. You have to check the metzias. As opposed to if you deep fry it, then deep frying may be the way of serving this olal shulchan melach. So what we're saying is that it depends on the kind of food. It depends on what the purpose of this food is. Is it for the purpose of something what would be used on a shulchan malachim, and the way in which the food is being prepared. Meaning, potato chips. Even though potato chips are cooked in a way that would be olal shulchan malachim, the purpose of this food is not for serving on a shulchan malachim. It's for snacking.
And really,
so,
I have a nice piece of meat, and I chop it into little pieces, and make it into a little patty. That's not like all shulchan malachim, because like they don't eat hamburgers.
Possibly, right? Yeah. Assuming that's
more purpose focused.
Well, but if you have mashed potatoes with a very gourmet potato chip, you know, on the top is a giant thing. Right,
oh, so we're going to get to the potato chip in 1 second, but I want to still stay on this point, which is that
a potato can be made into a potato chip. That's not all the shalom.
Or mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes. That is all the shalom.
Exactly.
You know, that is all the shalom. So the point is, you don't say, oh, look, the potato chip is also Rishon Bishalachim because it could have been mashed potatoes. That
exactly. That's the point that we're making. But just 1 second. But it is important to know that thinking about how to define this item is not so simple, because if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan in Kuf Yud Gimel here in Os Yud, he says that when it comes to meat, the different parts of the meat are all called one item. They're one min, and that's where some people like to take this Aruch HaShulchan and say min. That's not what he means. He's not saying it's defined by min generally, but what he's saying is that when you talk about meat being olal shulchan malachim, we don't distinguish between this cut of meat and that cut of meat. Because that's a different, that's chopped meat. That's not a similar kind of meat. Why? Because he says, to imlokein, not your basar kachush. Which is an important line. You can have a steak, which is the best kind of steak, and then you can have a steak which is kind of a leaner or a less great quality steak. So the Aruch HaShulchan's point is that even if this particular food item is not the premium grade top quality item, since this steak in its standard form is olal shulchan malachim, even though this particular piece of meat is not one that you would serve to a king, but since generally this is one that is served to a king, then categorically we would be machmir.
Does he mean cuts of meat like prime rib versus like the garbage, whatever, or does he mean this is like a shot piece of prime rib? There are also pieces of prime rib which are not, which a caterer would say, no, sorry, this one you can't put on the table. You don't say so, those two.
So the thing is,
like the horse meat that they serve in yeshiva.
What are they talking about?
It's all meat. So.
So the chiddush is, the reason why it's quite interesting is because he says this is talking about the kurkavon and the b'nei me'ayim, which he quotes the Gemara that says, ochlinu la bar inish, and they're not called a chatich rulei skabed, nonetheless, l'inyan shlokos, they're aser.
So sloppy joes are
considered. Kishka.
Right, but the chiddush is that even though you could have said that kurkan b'nei me'ayim is called a different thing altogether, so he still puts them together. So let's say you could you distinguish between the pulka of the chicken versus the white meat of the chicken? According to the Aruch HaShulchan, you cannot. But maybe you could. This is, we have to see further, but yeah.
It could get hazy, I guess, in the sense of what's considered all shulchan malachim. and what is it that you've added here that we said doesn't make a difference and won't make it or break it?
Right.
Like, you know, a nice piece of fish, all of shavulachim, you bread it, and suddenly that it just add a little bit to all of shavulachim, or now it's schnitzel.
Right, so that goes back to the dark yeshuva. Yeah. Exactly. So that depends on what the main thing is. Now this brings us to this last point, Olot Shulchan Aruch, that I want to make, which is the issue of the tofel. And that's what you alluded to before, the same thing about the potato chip, where we saw in Bishul Akum, in the context of the Pas Akum, that Bishul Akum depends on Rov, or more than just Rov, Ikar and Tofel, from the Kasa de Harsana story. So, what happens if you have a food which is always served as a tofel? So in the OU, in the documents here, in 130 and 131, Rav Schechter and Rav Belsky and Rav Ganek are talking about chow mein noodles and beans and chickpeas. So the suggestion is that when you have the koveya, is that when you have something which is only served and is sholchem alachem as a tofel, as an adjunct to other foods, then you don't have to worry about them being considered olal sholchem alachem, because they're never going to be the main food item. They're always going to be batel. So if the only time a potato chip would ever go on a sholchem alachem would be stuck on the top of a steak or on the top of mashed potatoes, then it's always a tofel. So that can never upgrade it to the level of Shulchan Malachim. The next part of it that they're discussing after the chow mein noodles are the beans and chickpeas. And that they're also, they say, the conclusion is that since in almost every way they are served at a Shulchan Malachim, they are a tofel, even though there is one way of serving them at a Shulchan Malachim that's not tofel, that's not enough to require all beans and chickpeas be Bishul Yisra. So we talked about Nechal Chai. And in the context of Nechal Chai, we dealt with the reason for Nechal Chai, following the Rov, the issue of Rashi versus the Ritva, defining it based on the Meichel itself and the Zangvil. And so we have a similar set of issues to think about in Olal Shulchan Melech, and we talked about the reason, the issue of how it's defined, of what kind of Melech, fancy Suda, the Min versus the Meichel, and now the issue of the Tofel. The last point I want to make is just this issue of parperis, because the Shulchan Aruch has this added line of lalaf is boas hapas o le parperis. In the Gemara itself, the Gemara did not say that it could even be le parperis. The Gemara just said lalaf is boas hapas. So what happens if you have something which is an appetizer that would be olal shulchan malachim, but it's not eaten as part of the main course? It's not going together with the bread, or it's a dessert. So the Gra here points out that the Rambam understands that in the case where the Ovi Kochavim was matzis, the Eish Ba'agam, the Rambam understands that parperis also is considered to be chashuv for olal shulchan malachim. The Rambam's lashon here is in Yudches. Pulin va'afunim va'adash b'kiyotzim b'sheshalkanosan agoyim amochnosan asurin mishum bishul agoyim b'makom she'olan al shulchan malachim mishum parperis. Because there are parperis. So the Prichadash, right here, this is in, I can give it to you, it's not such an easy copy to read. Prichadash is mefakpek on this line of the Shulchan Aruch. He says, me'echitesi parperis qualifies. It's not l'lafis bo'as abas. This is the Prichadash in Simin Kuf Yud Gimel. It's an Os, it's a long Os here, Os Gimel. But the Aruch HaShulchan in Os Zion concludes that since the Shulchan Aruch is Machmir, we should be Machmir. So if something is Olal Shulchan Malachim, even if it's not for the main dish, as long as it's not a tuffle to something else, if it's its own item, whether it would be served as an appetizer or as a dessert, that would also be considered to be Olal Shulchan Malachim. So this follows the end of the line in the Shulchan Aruch, Davar she'einu nechal kamo shu chai, v'gam olal shulchan malachim lalaf is boas apas, olu parperis, shebishlo ovi kochavim, afilu b'kli Yisrael, v'beis Yisrael, asr mishum bishulei ovi kochavim. Ad kan for our Hakdama today.